Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Actually, you're listening to Austin Parr with Discount Fishing Tackle, filling in for Terry while he's on assignment this week up in Minnesota, hopefully catching a bunch of fish right now. But we have a great show lined up for everyone today. We're going to give you a great rundown of fall fishing opportunities across this state, talk about some hunting opportunities with Brad Peterson. We'll also have Nate Zielinski talking about other fall fishing opportunities, J.R. Pierce with Colorado Clays, and a couple of great parks and wildlife segments today as well, talking about sage grouse, as well as going down and discussing Navajo State Park, which is a fantastic place to visit this time of year. But in the meantime, we're going to give you a quick rundown of various fishing opportunities in the state. So my name's Austin Parr once again. I run Discount Fishing Tackle, which is 6 blocks south of Evans on the west side of Santa Fe, and fishing is definitely my life, and I get reports all across the state, and it's always my passion to be able to turn around and help everyone to catch more fish. But this time of year, even myself, I get guilty of sometimes thinking about hunting a little bit too much. However, the fishing opportunities are absolutely endless almost this, you know, when we're dealing with finally starting to see some cold temperatures. So on the Front Range, I guide on several lakes, including Chatfield and Cherry Creek Reservoirs, and we're going to start right there. So Chatfield, as we've talked about, if you've heard me on the show before, this year's been a little bit different. So we're dealing with a lot less bait fish in that particular lake. So in the early springtime when the shad were spawning out there, the water temperatures fell fairly significantly during that spawn, and they were largely unsuccessful. So we're dealing with a very small percentage of bait fish in comparison to what you would normally be used to. So what that means is that instead of these fish going out and chasing these bait fish over the main basins, you're finding them still in a lot of the same places you would in the middle of the summertime. So whether that be on the roadbeds or even down south into the no-wake zone, all of those areas have been incredibly productive. So if you're targeting walleyes, I'm finding that the majority of the fish are sitting in under 15 feet of water right now, sometimes even as shallow as 6 or 7 feet, depending upon the specific structure point. But they're sitting on very, very tight structure points. So they're not spread out very far, and it's much better to go and instead of trying to pull across something like with a Lindy rig or trolling like some people are used to this time of year, you're much better off to actually park in one position and specifically cast on a very special spot. So you're not going around and fan casting, you're specifically targeting one location. And I'm utilizing, if you can believe it or not, even live bait opportunities are still working out there. So either fishing a jig and a minnow or a jig and a crawler, using that on a stand-up jig head and just barely creeping that along the bottom where you're marking fish first. And then that also I am using a jigging wrap in conjunction with those. So jigging wraps are enticing more of your reactionary strikes. And although there aren't bait fish populations in that lake like you would normally see with the gizzard shad, there are still a lot of perch and baby bluegills and even crappies at times in there. And when that's happening, you're finding that getting them to react to more of a perch base or a crappie type color on that jigging wrap is also being very productive. Blade baits aren't being quite as productive as some of your jigging wraps are out there, but a blade bait's a little bit different. It has more vibration to it and is more closely resembling a shad. So instead of fishing the silver patterns, the ones that I am having a little bit of success on have been more of the gold blade baits, like a Johnson Thin Fisher blade bait and a 1/4 ounce, or in the same blade bait in a perch color. Both have been very productive out there, but the key that I always find is downsizing those a bit can be also very effective. But we're going to get into a little bit more of the specifics of blade bait fishing a little bit later on in the show. Shifting over toward Cherry Creek, Cherry Creek is more of a normal year, I guess you could say, out there. And finally, with especially seeing some of this snow that we may actually be having next week coming in on Thursday, that is really going to trigger the good fall bite out there. So this was the week last year that I had all the big fish that we caught guiding out there. I had one week in particular where we had 6 fish that were pushing 30 inches in one week. And it was the weather patterns were a little bit different, but I think this next week could wind up being that week. So that cold front that's going to come through, particularly fishing before it, if you can get out there in the middle of the week, is going to be the days that you're going to want to be out there. So Tuesday and Wednesday. But that lake, we're seeing a lot more bait fish that are all around out there. And they've been, there was a very healthy bait fish spawn. And the shad, there's multiple different year classes. And the fish in the early mornings, you're wanting to fish up shallower. Whereas later in the day, you want to slide out a little bit and maybe troll to some of those fish. So in the early mornings, I'm looking for areas that the fish are going to be pushing those bait fish up against. So areas such as, you know, the western side and the northeastern side where you have some big humps up there, particularly if the wind has been blowing in some of those particular areas. I'll start off early and I'll fish a jigging wrap, and I love blade baits out there as well, just like at Chatfield. But because of the bait fish that you're seeing out there, the live bait pattern, it's not what you're going to want to be doing. So you have to be trying to get these fish to react to something. And that early morning, not only is it a great time to be out there in a boat, but because they're so shallow, that particular area is great to fish from the shoreline, even in areas like the dam. The dam at that lake, unlike a lot of other dams in the state, does not have rock that extends deep into the water. So you can fish a technique like a blade bait or a jigging wrap with, you know, actually really good success. But my color selections out there, I'm going more shad-oriented. So I'm going whites, maybe a bit of a chartreuse tied in on some of that white, but also some of the chrome silvers on the blade baits have been productive. And then occasionally the hot perch type colors also will work well. But working early up in that shallow water, and then later on in the day, I'm moving out over the deeper water and I'm trolling. So if you're a shore angler, later in the day may be a time to pack up and head home, just because those fish are going to peel off and just hit it in the early morning or evening. But if you're in the boat, shift off and pull some crankbaits up higher in the water column. And every day has been a little bit different out there. Some days have been really high up and in near the surface of the water, and other days have been a bit further down. So still the consistent baits out there are a Berkeley flicker shad. And if I'm fishing high in the water column with planer boards, I'll use more of the shallow style flicker shad rather than the deep diving flicker shad. But the Salmo Hornets are still always one of my favorites out there. And the Salmo Hornets down into the size fours. So smaller size crankbaits, that four means it's a 4-centimeter bait, and all baits are really gauged in that same way. So like Rapala baits and even Berkeley baits, when you're seeing a size four or size five, that's the amount of centimeters that your bait is. But the size fours are quite productive. And then I'm pulling that out over that deep water. So I'll change my speeds up. Sometimes I'm going to be going faster. Sometimes I'm going to be going slower. But typically I'm going to be within that 1.7 to 2.0 mile per hour range. And a lot of times it's going to be right out over the main basin. So that is going to be really productive. But past Chatfield and Cherry Creek, I'm heading a little bit further east. I want to remind everyone that unfortunately, due to the blue-green algae, Quincy has been closed for the majority of the late summer here. So that does not look like that's going to be really open in the foreseeable future. So unfortunately, it's going to be next year before we're going to see that opening. Aurora Reservoir, however, has been fishing really well. But due to the fact that Quincy had all that blue-green algae issues, Quincy is the inlet for Aurora for the most part. And Aurora, the water level has been really, really low out there. And unless you have a small hand launch kayak or small hand launch boat, a large boat is not going to really be able to be launched very easily out there right now. So that's certainly something to consider. So maybe head somewhere else if you want to go and put the big boat in. But that lake still is fishing well, jigging wraps, particularly perch colors, and then jerk baits, also perch colors in the early morning, are really productive. But keep in mind that lake is not a shad-based lake, so the perch is going to be the much better way to go. Small ponds right now are also fishing well. So if you're around the metro area and you're wanting to hit some of the local stuff on the pond action, that's certainly something to consider. The largemouth have been good. But then this time of year, the trout action up in the mountains is really, really going to be a great place to catch a ton of fish. So Lake John has been really productive, as has Delaney Buttes. I actually got a text message from one of my friends up there right now, and he's been catching a lot of fish up there at Lake John on gulp minnows and gulp leeches, actually. But the fly fishing opportunities have been productive up there as well. And then as you shift down into South Park, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more depth as we talk to Nate Zielinski later on in the day. But 11 Mile and Spinney have both been fishing quite productively down there, and that's certainly something to hit. And then a little bit closer to home, if you're looking to take a kid out, Evergreen Lake and Georgetown Lake both have been incredibly productive and are a great spot to take a kid. heading down a bit south. Lake Pueblo is sitting about the same kind of characteristics that you'd be finding at Cherry Creek, where you have a lot of bait fish in the lake, but the fishing has started to turn over. And as we see some of these heavy cold snaps coming up right here, we're really going to have some good time to be able to go and catch some fish over the next few weeks. So out there, the fish will peel off into a little bit deeper structure as we start to get some of these heavy cold snaps. So rather than casting so much out there, I like to change my technique to vertical jigging a lot of times, especially due to the fact that you have so much shale rock that's very snaggy on a cast. But I'll get directly over some of these fish, and I'll vertical jig to them. But shore anglers also can have great opportunities right now catching walleyes up shallow in the early morning, as we mentioned at Cherry Creek. But the smallmouth bass are also being quite productive out there. And the smallmouth bass, just like chatfield, they're a great secondary species. And in some people's cases, the first species that they want to target. But there's a huge population in both lakes. And Senkos, tube jigs, and Ned rigs are all really, really productive. And certainly this sounds like a lot going through all of this. But once again, my name's Austin Parr, and I own Discount Fishing Tackle on South Santa Fe Drive. We're 6 blocks south of Evans on the west side of Santa Fe. And I am absolutely happy to talk with anybody in any greater detail about any of this. So we have a fantastic selection of tackle down there and all different forms. We're going to talk fly fishing later on in the day, and I have as much fly tackle down there as anyone in this entire state, but we really do focus on the walleye tackle as well as the bass tackle down there. So if you're looking for those hard-to-find colors of crankbaits like a Selma Hornet, a Flicker Shad, or a Shad Wrap, or shifting into some of your jigging wraps, or whether it be live bait applications or jig heads, I have all of your different options down there. And then talking about live bait, I also stock a wide variety of live bait down there. So this time of year, I have fathead minnows, we have shiner minnows in two different sizes, we have night crawlers, and we have mealworms. But as we shift into the wintertime, we'll consistently have a great stock of minnows for hopefully a solid metro ice fishing season, as well as mealworms and waxworms throughout the entire mountain ice fishing season as well, including all of the jigs and everything to go with it. But we also have a fantastic selection of waders, reels, rods, up through high end on all of those options. And then fly tying, if you're looking to get into some great fly tying, whether you're a beginner or an advanced tire, we have all of that for you. But from this point, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Rob Carter, who is the marina manager at Navajo State Park. Once again, you're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.